So in the Bible study, we read Zechariah 14, verse 8, that living waters will flow from Jerusalem. So why would this need to happen? Why would living waters need to flow from Jerusalem? Well, let me give you some statistics, first of all, about the fresh water that is on this planet already. And it's very sparse. The following statistics come from the Bureau of Reclamation website. And they say that only 3% of the Earth's water is fresh. Only 3%. That means 97% of the water on the Earth right now is salty in oceans. So, of that 3%, that is fresh water, an astounding 2.5% of that is unavailable. It's either locked up in glaciers, or it is in the polar ice caps, or even in the soil, or down so low in the earth that you cannot extract it at an affordable cost. So that means that only 0.5% of the fresh water available is currently available for the population of the earth. And then you've got water pollution on top of all that. For instance, if you take a gallon of paint, 1 gallon of paint, or 1 quart of motor oil, and you either pour it into a lake or a pond or whatever, it can pollute up to 250,000 gallons of drinking water. Just a quart of motor oil or 1 gallon of paint. The U.S. Geological Survey increasingly finds agricultural pesticide chemicals in the rivers. These studies were conducted by the Environmental Working Group. And they found that 14 million Americans are drinking public water that contains at least 4 major herbicides in the water. And each year around the globe, 12 million people die, mainly children, die from cholera, typhoid, dysentery, hepatitis due to untreated wastes that are being put into the water system, into the rivers, streams, and lakes. So how long can things like that continue for the fresh water availability? That's the situation as it stands now. But in the future, before the return of Christ, it is going to get much worse. Let's notice what happens to the fresh water in Revelation 8. Revelation 8, beginning in verse 10, these are the trumpet plagues. Revelation 8, verse 10. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, bitter. Many men died because of the water, because it was made bitter. So you have what's left of that 0.5%, you got a third of it now destroyed with some type of bitterness that's going to cause some death. But not only that, you find then the 7 last plagues in chapter 16 of Revelation. Revelation 16, and notice verse 4. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. So whatever else was not yet polluted, you have all the drinking water that's now available at that time being turned into blood. Absolute devastation. Total undrinkability of the water. But as we saw in the Bible study in Zechariah 14, we see a positive occurring. And that's what we read in verse 8 of Zechariah 14. And so today we're going to review the meaning of living waters. And that's the title of the sermon. First, what we want to do is look at what physically will change when those living waters come from Jerusalem. And then we'll look at the spiritual aspects of the living waters. So let's go back to Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Ezekiel 47 and verse 1. Again, this is describing the temple that will be built in Jerusalem. And then from underneath the temple, we find flowing water. As we saw earlier in Zechariah, these are living waters. Ezekiel 47, verse 1, he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, the altar. And then the water went out toward the east, this living water, and it shows that it got deeper and deeper as the water went along. So they were flowing here in this section toward the Dead Sea. It began as a trickle and then ended up as a very deep river. So we come to verse 8. And he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea." And so it goes into this valley. Now, I'm wondering, will that also go through that, you know, is it on its way to the valley toward the Jordan and toward the Dead Sea? Will it go through that valley created by the splitting of the Mount of Olives? Very probable is a possibility, and that could be. But it does say that when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. The Dead Sea. It's got so much salt now that nothing lives in it. But those waters will be healed. And it will be that everything that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There'll be a great multitude of fish because of the waters go there. And they'll be healed. Everything will live wherever the water goes. So, you know, after that angel pours out the plague of the blood on the waters, well, now these living waters are going to heal all of that. And there'll be life in the rivers and life in the Dead Sea. And it'll be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Gallim, and they will be places for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be the same kinds as the fish of the Great Sea. So it's going to be a thriving area for fishing at that time, both the Mediterranean and the Dead Sea. Swamps and marshes will not be healed. They'll be given over to salt because there will be a need for salt. And other reasons for this in verse 11. But along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. So we'll have all this fresh fruit every month during the millennium. And you have leaves from some of these trees that only God knows which ones would be used for medicinal purposes. So you have the healing of these waters and rivers. You have all sea life returning. You have these plants and vegetarian all thriving. No more pesticides, no more garbage. Pure good water. No man-made government can do this. It's going to be a miracle of the highest order. Just as the miracle will take place of the beasts being changed, their nature being changed, so too will this water be changed into real fresh water. So let's get into some more indication of this type of healing of the waters in the following verses, and we'll look at quite a few verses in Isaiah. So let's start with Isaiah 30 and verse 23. Isaiah 30, verse 23. Because what we're going to be seeing are waters all over the earth being healed. Isaiah 30, verse 23, and he will give the rain for your seed, which you sow the ground, with which you sow the ground, and bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful, and the day of your cattle will feed in large pastures. Notice verse 25. They'll be on every high mountain and on every high hill, those mountains and hills that God will allow to stay the way they are. There will be rivers and streams of waters. They'll be coming, and they'll be producing the amount of water that is necessary for the grain to grow, like in verse 23, even for the oxen to feed, as it shows there. Let's go to Isaiah 35, verse 1. Isaiah 35, verse 1, we'll just be reading through these scriptures here. The wilderness and the wasteland will be glad for them. Glad for what? The desert will rejoice and blossom as a rose. Well, why are the wastelands being glad for them? As it says, the answer is in verse 6, the last part of verse 6, for waters will burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground will become like a pool, and thirsty land springs of water. Talks about in the habitation of jackals where each lay, there will be grass with reeds and rushes. So all this abundance, we won't have these huge Sahara-like deserts. We will have all of this abundance of water, and it will cause the deserts to blossom all around the world. Let's go on to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 18. Isaiah 41, verse 18. I will open rivers in desolate heights, fountains in the midst of the valleys. I'll make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. And so you have the verse 20 at the end there. Consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. So there will be all of this water. I will open rivers in the desolate heights, pools of water. And so you have all of this type of water being available in the future. Then we come to Isaiah 43, verse 18. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'll do a new thing. And it'll spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, and jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen, this people I formed for myself, and they'll declare my praise. So God's going to give all of these fresh waters to all the people, his people. And during the millennium, we see this occurring all over the earth. Fresh, pure, crystal clear water. No more ground pollution, nothing like we see today. All fresh. That's what's going to happen to the physical waters. Now, there's something else about the living waters, and that's the spiritual aspect. And this is found in Isaiah 55. Even back here in the Old Testament, a spiritual aspect of the living waters. Isaiah 55, let's start in verse 1. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me here, and your soul will live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Here we see a spiritual rejuvenation of what is really going to be the spiritual diet and the spiritual drink. So we see humanity coming to waters and even food that are living, they give real spiritual understanding. We find this again in Jeremiah. So in the three major prophets, we see this noted. Isaiah, now Jeremiah 17. Let's look at Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. He'll not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Verse 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be ashamed. Those who depart from me will be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And we're beginning to see in these major prophets here that Jesus Christ is the fountain of living waters. And what he says and what he has written and his words are going to be what all humanity needs to be cleaned up spiritually. And we also begin to see this in Ezekiel 36. So the three major prophets, and here is the case in Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 28. Ezekiel 36, verse 28. 23, let's start in verse 23. We'll read through verse 28. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations will know that I am the Lord, says the Lord, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. I'll take you from among the nations, and I'll gather you out of the nations. I'll gather you out of the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and all of your idols. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, a malleable heart that you will have. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them. Then you will dwell in the land that I give to your fathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. They will become the covenant people once again. The Spirit of God will be in them. So not only do we have the physical waters that are all going to be cleansed and pured, we're going to have people that are going to be cleansed and purified. And we also know that they will be given the Holy Spirit. And here we are just a few weeks away, hard to believe, but a few weeks away from Pentecost. Pentecost represents the giving of the Holy Spirit. Now, you and I are blessed to have it right now. And you and I have been blessed to follow the living waters that come from Jesus Christ. And we will have the opportunity to live forever in the kingdom and be able to be part of this whole reclamation process, not only physically, but also in the spiritual aspect. This is what Jesus was referring to when he talked to the Samaritan woman in John 4. Let's look at John 4. So what we've read here in Isaiah, and there were quite a few scriptures in Isaiah, read in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Jesus Christ was telling a Gentile woman, a Samaritan who wasn't really much honored by Jewish people at that time. This is what he was telling her. Verse 13, John 4, verse 13. Jesus said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. That was referring to the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The water that comes into him that I give will become in him a fountain springing up into everlasting life. And we know we need to have the Holy Spirit of God in order to be in the kingdom of God. And so what Jesus Christ has given us, his Holy Spirit, it will grow within us. And we will have that living water within us as well. And we'll have everlasting life. Jesus is talking about spiritual principles here to this woman. Now she's listening. She's fascinated by what she is hearing. So in verse 23, Jesus Christ goes on to say, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." Not just in some place, but in spirit and in truth. Deep theological issues. She goes then to the Samaritans in the city, the men of the city, tells them all that Jesus said to her, because she's just fascinated. He even told her a little bit about her own personal life that no one else would have known. She's convinced that he is the Messiah, the one that the people were looking for. So she tells the men of the city. So we come to verse 40. "When the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he," Christ, "stayed there for 2 days." Not just for an afternoon. He spent 2 whole days and he's teaching these willing people, the Samaritans. And he said, and we see the account here by John, "Many more believed because of his own word. Now these Samaritans, they said to the woman, 'Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ," or the Messiah. "We know that he is the Savior of the world." So God had to have been opening up their minds, and they accepted it. Not too many people in the Jewish areas that he went to accepted this. But in this area, they did. And they realized that he had the truth and the rivers, the living water that they needed. So this is going to happen in the millennium as well. Now, we read this during the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is what Jesus said on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, John 7, verse 37. John 7, verse 37. "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me.'" We're talking about spiritual aspects here. Thirst of the need for peace, the need for truth, the need for confidence in God. "Come to me. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart flow rivers of living water." He's quoting from Isaiah. So he's tying all this in with what will happen during the time of the millennium, when people will have their consciences cleaned and clear, just like the physical waters will be cleaned. Let's look over now and see a fulfillment of this occurring in Revelation 7. Revelation 7 and verse 16. Revelation 7 and verse 16. Revelation 7, verse 16. They will neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun will not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb, who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and will lead them to the living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's an astounding visual if we can picture this. That Jesus Christ is leading people not only to himself, but these rivers of living water that will give life. That will give life. And will give them hope. And then we find in the new heavens and new earth. Revelation 22, verse 21. I'm sorry, Revelation 22, verse 1. Revelation 22 and in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. This is the New Jerusalem. This is in the new heavens and the new earth. We're going to see this crystal, pure river, clear as crystal, at that time as well. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify of you. And in the churches, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who says, say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So all those at this time will be made spirit in the new heavens and new earth, and we will be able to take of that the living waters freely, because they will be coming from Jesus Christ. This is all the spiritual aspect of living waters, all the spiritual, physical aspects of what we saw there in Zechariah 14. The meaning of the living waters refers to a rejuvenated earth, no pollution regarding any of the waters, clean, and a renewed and changed nature in humanity. No pollution, but cleanness and purity that comes from God's Spirit. And so the knowledge of God will be extant all over the earth. I know it's difficult in some ways to imagine a world like this. I mean, we look at the waters around and they're polluted. And people are concerned about lead in their drinking water. And we see Satan's nature in humanity. And it's there and it's getting worse and worse. And so we have to be careful in our own lives that we do not muddy the water of what God has given us, His Holy Spirit, that we don't muddy it up. And as a concluding scripture, let's look at Isaiah 44. Let's look at Isaiah 44. And starting in verse 1. Isaiah 44 and verse 1. Let's just read through here. Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, referring to Israel. I will pour water on him who is thirsty, the floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They'll spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's. And another will call himself by the name of Jacob. And another will write with his hand, the Lord's, meaning everyone is going to be associating themselves with God and with Israel and name himself by the name of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Let him declare it, set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming shall come. Let them show these to them. The things are coming, are going to come, and we've already saw the things that are yet to come. I'm going to do something a little different in concluding the sermon today. We're actually going to be listening to a song. It's a little over 5 minutes. The title of the song is Rivers of Living Water. It was written by Ross Judson, and it was sung by Eddie's wife, Shannon, her dad. Her dad sung this, Dr. James Guy. And so, based on the protocols for copyright issues and everything, I did receive permission from both I could play this here at services, and we can play it over the web since it is password protected. That's the only place we can do it this way in our services. So I felt it was an appropriate way to end this sermon because it really does get into what we've just read in a very moving song. So afterwards, then, we'll have Mr. Staggs come forward to lead in the closing hymn.